Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this here radio program on American Family Radio. Tim here with Ed. I'm Tim Wildman. The announcer just told you that. Ed Battagliano is here. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you, sir?
I'm making it.
Awaiting the beginning of hockey preseason?
Yes,
hockey professional preseason. Hockey preseason.
Right.
When does that start, Ed?
That starts, let's see, the 16th, I think. I think it starts like this week. I think they start coming into camp.
Preseason.
And then the preseason game, Bruins, my team, I think their first game is the 16th of September.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll be locked in. You'll be locked in for the next 8 months,
I'll
right?
be focused. But not in a bad way.
No, yeah. You don't let you. You have your priorities.
I have my priorities.
God, your yes. marriage, hockey,
no,
and then your grandchildren.
Grandkids above the, yeah. So
grandkids are above hockey?
Oh, yeah. Now, my kids,
when did that happen?
My kids are below hockey, but the grandkids are above hockey. Well, because
that,
I will go and babysit
got,
my
okay,
grandkids.
I'm not going to judge Ed. So if you're worried about that, don't worry about it. I'm just saying that I've noticed as a brother that when the Bruins are winning, that hockey does move above their grandchildren.
No.
Just for a few weeks.
It's perception only.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I will go and babysit them, even though my son, bless his heart, doesn't have the hockey package in his house.
I
check my phone. No.
You tape it?
No.
Okay. It's Chris Woodward's here. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well.
How many professional hockey games you been to, Chris?
Zero, but Ed did body check me one time after the Today's Issues
yeah,
meeting.
Yeah, but you deserved it.
Oh,
and
out
he said, game on!
Out by the popcorn machine?
Yeah,
I got
one bag too many.
That's right. You deserved it, son.
I've been giving him Pizza Hut gift cards ever since.
All right.
That is a lie.
That is a lie. You lie!
Yeah. All right.
That was
a little loud, Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you. Well, don't go all NPR on me. Okay.
Put people to sleep.
Don't go soft jazz into the evening.
This is Marketplace.
We don't want that kind of radio here. This is Marketplace. Stock market died today. We buried it. All right, Chris. We got, by the way, let me just tell you folks what we got coming up.
Oh, we got stuff coming up.
Abraham Hamilton III. Is Abe in studio? He's back? Okay, because he's been traveling. So Abe will be with us. He's the general counsel for us here at AFA, and he's also host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon, Monday through Friday on AFR. And then at 10:45 Central Time, Dr. Robert Jeffress will be with us. And so got a good hour for you. All right, Chris, what do you got leading us off here?
I want to begin with media coverage of the 9/11 anniversary. You know, as any news outlet would do on a day such as this, news outlets were quick to use Twitter and other social media platforms today to share the articles and things they were going to be doing throughout the day to observe 9/11.
18 years ago today.
Yes, 18 right? years ago today. This was something that the New York Times tweeted earlier this morning. They have since taken it down, and we'll find out why later, perhaps. But New York Times, I took a screen capture of it this morning as soon as I saw it. 18 years have passed.
This is their headline.
Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting. This is the headline you're about to read?
The headline
from
the New York Times
earlier today.
Yes. 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Today, families will once again gather and grieve at the site where more than 2,000 people died.
Airplanes took aim.
This is
not
wanting
to. All right, we all know what's going on here, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is an extreme example.
This is ludicrous.
They don't want to criticize Muslims.
Right.
Right. Or be perceived in any way criticizing Islam.
Right.
So what do? We say that airplanes ran into the buildings,
mm-hmm.
as if airplanes took off on their own.
Well, not just airplanes ran into the buildings.
Took aim. Airplanes took aim.
Yeah.
So, and now have they changed that?
I've noticed right before I came over here for the meeting, I noticed that the tweet is now unavailable, which means they've taken it down. Because of the backlash. And this is the same news outlet that just a couple of days ago had one of those on this date in history tweets.
Yeah.
And they were talking about on this date in history in 1970, whatever, Mao Zedong died. And they went on to say that he was a revolutionary among revolutionaries. They were like romanticizing a murderer in Chairman Mao.
I just wondered if a white nationalist had taken over the airplanes and ran them into the Twin Towers, if today's headline would say airplanes targeted the buildings, or would they say white nationalist?
Well, we all know the answer.
Yeah.
That's
embarrassing.
That's an outrage. And it was so bad, the blowback. The New York Times, they're not quick to admit when they're wrong a lot of times.
That's like gun violence to me.
Yeah.
When they say gun violence. As if there's no motivation of the individual who pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
What was their thinking? It's just gun violence. Guns get out of their cases and go out and look for people.
Guns run amok.
Gun violence. So anyway, that's for the New York Times, that's an embarrassment.
It really is. I don't know who's running
the show. So they said what again? This is their tweet?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It says 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim. Just radicalized airplanes, I guess. took aim, huh?
Right.
Normally airplanes don't act like this, but you get them radicalized.
Right.
And
we're not blaming all airplanes.
No, we're not.
Radical airplanes.
No, there's a lot of peaceful airplanes. So, anyway, that's ridiculous.
And it's just one example of ridiculous things that have already been put out today. This is something from USA Today. They put out a thing every morning, five things you need to know today, and it's part of an effort just to give you five stories that are going to be big in the news cycle that day. People are going to be talking about them. USA Today found a way to bash Trump here. They said, Americans prepare to remember the victims of 9/11 while controversy rages about President Donald Trump's canceled plans to meet with the Taliban. Remember, it was just a couple of days ago, the president, it was made known that he was trying to organize maybe a meeting at Camp David with the Taliban to find a way to get a peace deal in Afghanistan. We talked about it earlier on this show, but they took 9/11 observances and went way out of their way to bring in something about Trump to put.
What do you call that, Ed? Shoehorning?
Yeah, shoehorn it in. We'll figure a way to jam this thing in.
We're gonna have to have our bash Trump fix here.
Yes.
At the USA Today, but we don't have anything. Anybody got? So I just see the reporter sitting around the table. Anybody got an idea?
Way to shoehorn this in?
I do, sir.
Well, I was thinking maybe.
Go ahead.
It's like if you ever read the comments under an article about anything, we've made this comment, at some point it's going to turn to Trump.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know.
About three down.
Either for or against. Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading about Mississippi State football the other day. About four down, we get into Trump.
Yeah.
On comments. Can we not?
We'll work it in here somehow.
Trump All tackled right. Tommy Stevens, sprained his shoulder.
By the way, we failed to mention that you can watch the program on Facebook or YouTube. Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues on America, and you can watch the show that way. And we're posting the stories that we talk about there as well. Today's Issues, Facebook or YouTube. This is 9/11. Of course, this is 18 years.
Yes, sir.
Later.
That's amazing, by the way.
What's
18
that?
18 years.
I know.
Wow. It's just a lot of people doing that, I'm sure. So it's hard to believe.
Were you guys both here? I know you were here.
I was. I remember exactly one of those statements. I know exactly where I was in the AFA Journal section. We had a television. We had televisions over there because at the time we were recording television programs from the major networks. Because we would review those, and we would send letters to advertisers who were advertising on bad programming. So it was one of the few places in the building that had televisions. We had those televisions on, a bunch of us watching when that second tower
When the second plane went in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just a bizarre moment.
I was in college. I had a roommate. It was a Tuesday morning that day in 2011, and I had a late class that morning on Tuesdays. And I had a roommate at the time, Freddie. He always woke up and wanted to watch hunting videos as he was getting ready for class. Right. And I remember he woke me up, you know, banging around and whatever that morning, and he started watching a hunting video. And I remember hearing him say, "I don't feel like watching this today." And he put it on the Today Show, and that's right after the first plane had hit. And so then I get down, and from the bed, we had a bunk bed. I get down, and I start watching the television, and then that's, you know, minutes, not long after the second plane hit. So we were glued to the television, as was everybody else, really.
Yeah. I was here when it happened. It was about this time, I believe, about this time of day, when they were showing the light.
So were you on the air.
I think we were on. Yeah, we were on the air. And you know, like everybody else, first plane goes in, you think, "Wow, did the pilot have a heart attack?"
Right. Yeah.
It's a clear day. How does that happen?
Yeah.
You know. You know, and then obviously when the second one goes in, everybody knows we're under attack.
Right.
And the great unknown on that day, if you remember, the fear for several hours for all of us across the country was, what else is out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the Pentagon's been hit.
Yep.
The Twin Towers have fallen.
And then there was all kinds of rumors. Mm-hmm. We think there may have been another plane that went down in a field.
Right.
We're not sure.
So you're wondering how, well, you know, are there 10 more, 20 more out there that have been hijacked?
Which is why all flights were
shut down for three days. I think the
grounded.
FAA
right. grounded.
I think the FAA didn't shut down American air travel for 3 days, right? Because I had a friend who was traveling internationally. They were coming from Europe back into the States. I think they were supposed to land in Minneapolis or somewhere, and they when that happened. They made their plane land in Halifax.
I remember you saying that because I thought, well, Canada.
Yeah, and they stayed there for 3 days, I think. What did a three-day grounding?
I think that's right.
I believe so. I remember seeing a television network. I don't remember. I think I know which one it was, but I don't want to say it and be wrong. But I remember watching television that day and seeing a major television network in these United States of America say that a plane had crashed at Camp David. And that was before Twitter and Facebook and all these other things. Imagine if something like that happened today with all the rumors that get spread through a Twitter and a Facebook. Yeah. It would be even worse than
it was
then.
That's true. You know what? The plane that went down in Pennsylvania that our fellow Americans heroically saved from, you know, killing more people in Washington, D.C., that's where they were heading. Was that one headed for the White House?
Or
the U.S. Capitol?
I think it's one of those two. Is what I remember from then being the guess. I'm not sure if they ever decided.
They were trying to go to Washington to hit the major American iconic sites.
Right.
The Pentagon was one. I don't know. And then they went into the. Anyway, imagine if they had taken the top off the Capitol or something like that.
Or hit the White House.
I mean. The Pentagon was bad enough.
Yes.
But if you'd have been able to do that. Anyway, it's our generation's December 7th.
Yeah. I was telling my daughter this morning for a few days it was known as Pearl Harbor 2 because we had not yet coined the phrase 9/11.
There are 3 days in the 20th century that define it as far for in terms of American history. Well, maybe more than three, and this is subjective, obviously. Well, not 20th century. 2001 would be the 21st century, right? So, but I just mean in the minds of a lot of Americans, that would be that are living, listening to me right now, is Pearl Harbor.
Right.
But Pearl Harbor, people who remember that are getting on up there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pearl Harbor. And, of course, that was many, many hours delayed, right? Reported to the American people. Wasn't it first announced to the American public by Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
No.
Or was that prior?
I think.
Or did he? He set a day that will live in infamy. We were attacked by maybe that everybody. Radio. Maybe the word had spread then.
Yeah, I think people.
Okay, but they were waiting on a.
That was his fireside chat kind of address to the nation.
Yeah, that, and then you have the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
That was that rocked our world
right
here in America. And then we have 9/11.
Yeah.
Those three things. Of course, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, too, I think. But the thing about that was, like you said, the news didn't. We didn't have the major news traveling so fast back in obviously the 1800s. But wouldn't you agree with those?
Oh, yeah. Those define. Each generation, kind of
the baby boomer generation, and prior to that.
And I remember when Kennedy was assassinated, I was just 5 years old.
But I
remember it because my mother broke down crying. She got a phone call from my dad, who was about to leave work. They were shutting down work. And he was on his way home.
Because of the assassination?
Yeah, and he told my mom the president's been shot and killed. And she broke down crying. And that, as a child, that was not something I had seen before, my mom breaking down crying. And then she turned the TV on, and I vaguely remember that.
They did
that.
Have live coverage in Dallas, right?
Yeah. So that's one of those things where you just...
Two other things come to mind. Well, you're talking about your mom cry. You remember your mom crying the day that John F. Kennedy was shot and assassinated. I remember, and you were talking about 9/11. I remember being over at my best friend's house when Richard Nixon resigned.
Yeah.
And she started crying. His mom.
Yeah.
My best friend's mom. That's kind of an awkward, you don't see that every day, right?
Yeah.
So, and you remember your mom, I remember she started, it was kind of like a loss of innocence, I guess, for our country. John F. Kennedy, obviously, more so than the death of Kennedy, than Richard. But I remember Richard Nixon the day he resigned and left the White House on the helicopter. Yeah. Remember that, on Marine One?
Yep.
But it was kind of like she was crying because it was like a very traumatic moment for our country.
Yeah.
To have the president resign.
Yeah.
And leave. But there's another memory I have that is a memory, not just something that you will remember. Chris, you weren't around at the time. But I'm just going to ask it like this, Ed. Do you know what other major television event that happened in our lifetime, yours and mine, that would rank in the top five of those we just talked
landing
about.
On the moon?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 You and I hadn't talked about this, but that came to mind.
Yeah. No.
Landing on the moon.
And it's strange for like younger people.
Like who, Chris over
like
here,
Chris,
young man.
Brent.
What age
don't
are you?
Let the great hair fool you. I'm not that old.
Yeah.
Brent Creeley, our producer. Yeah. They read about those things, but when you're watching it on television.
Right.
A man walking on the moon.
Or in Mesa.
Yeah.
You can believe
that
if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They never really came to the bottom of what happened there.
Buzz Aldrin punched a guy over that one time.
Well, I'm just telling you, I saw a cactus. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, and you can mock me if you want to.
Okay, we will.
You can mock me if you want to. While we're on this topic, There's another event comes to mind.
Yeah.
There's another that's going to be top 10. This is top 10.
The Red Sox come back from 3 down to beat the Yankees.
No, this is in our childhood.
Is this good or we're not talking about the assassination of MLK or Robert Kennedy.
This is something that was broadcast around the world that was a major television event that was.
The O.J. Simpson trial?
It was Elvis Aloha from Hawaii.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
No.
At all?
I mean, no, I was not a big Elvis fan.
Well, I'm just saying, obviously it's not on the level of those events I talked about earlier. Where
now, Elvis died. You guys remember the news coverage of that?
I do remember that.
That's what a lot of people believe. again, mock me if you want to.
My dad was.
Let me just say this.
He was hiding behind that cactus.
I remember. You don't remember that?
No.
Okay, well, I remember. Because the reason it was a big news story beyond just Elvis singing was the fact that I think it was the first time satellite had carried. I want to say it was the first time satellite had carried.
It was live from
Hawaii? Live. It was live.
Wow.
Yeah. It was live. So you got a satellite feed from Hawaii, and Elvis is in concert, you know, and it's broadcast, I want to say around the world, but certainly back here in North America, you know.
Yeah.
Canada, U.S., it was a widely anticipated and enormously watched event.
It is my duty as a resident of Northeast Mississippi to say that Elvis is from here, not from Memphis. He just died in Memphis.
Right.
Well,
by the way,
to the birthplace.
I also
he was born. Hold on a second before we have our Memphians called.
Okay.
And protest. Elvis Presley was born and lived in Tupelo till he was 10, I think. Then his family moved to Memphis, so he grew up in both. Right. So
let me
want to fight the Memphis
mob.
You want to fight the Memphis
mob. My last down here was not glorious. I'm sorry.
If you want to take on the Memphis mafia, you can do it, Chris. But leave me out of it.
Love your barbecue, Memphis.
Let me mention a couple things that some of our watchers, listeners, I don't know what.
Facebook fans.
Dan says Flight 93 was headed for the Capitol.
Okay,
so that's
the one who went down in
Pennsylvania.
And that was Todd.
Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Remember Todd, what was his last name?
The Let's Roll guy?
Yeah. Remember that?
I don't know. Somebody on Facebook will help us. But also, Cindy said she watched Elvis live too, Tim. Colette said the death of Krista McAuliffe and the rest of the crew. That was big. And let me just also mention, Melissa says the bombing in Oklahoma City. Todd Beamer.
That's true.
Jennifer says Todd Beamer
on Facebook. Thank you for our Facebook fans for filling.
Todd Beamer was the guy on
Let's
Flight
Roll.
93. Let's Roll.
No, you know what? Who was the one who talked about Christine McAuliffe?
Krista McAuliffe.
Was that her name? Krista?
And the Challenger?
Christy or Krista?
Right.
Shuttle?
The shuttle, yeah.
Challenger? You know, she's right about that because I remember where I was when that happened.
That was also huge, too. That's right.
I was in college at Mississippi State University. That would have been in sometime between 80.
Because that was carried live.
86?
83 to 86. I was there from 83 to 86. So when was that?
I think that was 86.
That was carried live? That would have been a CNN era, right?
Yes. Because those kinds of the Challenger flights, when they took off,
Oh, you're saying they're broadcast live.
Yeah.
They were.
So when that exploded.
Everybody saw it in real time.
Yeah. In fact,
she was the first teacher on a
Right.
And because she was, I think they were showing that in a lot of schools.
That's right. You're right.
Because
that's right. And what was the
traumatic? The Oklahoma City bombing.
Yes. 94. Yes. Remember that? When was that? That was in the 80s, too, right?
That was 90.
Was that 90?
95? 94, 95.
I think 94.
Also, another big one was the standoff in Waco.
Right.
Well, that's what Jeffrey says, Waco. Leah says 1986 was the Challenger.
What was the name of that cult? Waco. The Branch Davidians?
Branch Davidians.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So these are folks who also remember all this stuff. Also going back, Tony said, don't forget OKC. Pam said the Challenger explosion. So they're all, these are all things we all remember. Like
we will 9/11. Return momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, when we go to Israel and we visit the Sea of Galilee, we stay at a hotel right there on the seashore. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to get up every morning that we're there and you're going to say, hey, this is the place where Jesus walked on the water. This is the place where Jesus went on the boat with his disciples. This is the place where Jesus had much of his ministry, Capernaum, and places around there. So it's going to be a wonderful time there on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, we're going to take a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee. That's just a couple of the days that we're in Israel, seeing the sites that you read about your whole life in the Bible. So for more information on this March 12th through the 20th tour, go to the website twholyland.com. Again, March 12th through the 20th, go to the website twholyland.com for all the information.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Remembering that day. Next.
Todd Starnes here. You know, America is facing dangers of socialism and secularism every day, and we need young people who stand for freedom. At Liberty University, they're training the next generation of faith-based conservative leaders who will be on the front lines of this culture war. Professors teach their students about free enterprise, individual freedom, and the Constitution from a Judeo-Christian perspective. So join Liberty University in training the conservative leaders of tomorrow. Text GIVE to 839-858 today.
It was a day when the unthinkable happened. Billowing black smoke in our nation's capital, a field in Pennsylvania where patriots sacrificed their lives so that others might live. Heroes birthed on that most terrible day. Mighty towers fell, but from the ruins a new beacon of hope has risen, thrusting skyward in defiance of those who would dare attack our land. Rivers of life cascade over man-made waterfalls, a living monument to freedom's heroes. And long after we have gone, this place will stand as a monument to future generations, a testament to the land of the free and the home of the brave. And with one voice we can declare that our star-spangled banner still waves. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Marlon? Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. Hold on a second. Got to deal with this popcorn.
Well, while you're doing that, let me, our Facebook
family,
we're talking about events that we remembered, things that were traumatic or, you know,
it really got the attention of the nation.
Couple other folks, as we went to break, John said Ronald Reagan's assassination attempt.
Yes, John Hinckley. Everybody knows that name.
Yeah, and Marianne says the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Yes.
And Kay says the Persian Gulf War. I remember that. Everyone watching that. Remember CNN?
Shock and awe.
Yeah, CNN. This was the first Gulf War.
Yes.
In 1991, I think.
Yes, and all the buildup to that.
No, Schwarzkopf.
You know what? So far we've named. By the way, let's welcome Abraham Hamilton III into our program. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
How you doing, brother?
Doing well. Doing very well. Glad to be back.
Been on the road?
Yes. Traveling a little bit.
I've told y'all the story. When I was a sports reporter, we used a headline. I was a sports reporter at the campus newspaper, Mississippi State. This has been in the mid-'80s. Anyway, so I cleverly used this headline, and I like to take claim for it. Talking about on the road.
No one ever takes credit
I said, Bulldogs. I said, Bulldogs hit road. Boat hits back. I thought that was good.
Of course, it was good.
You can only use it one time,
right?
You know, but I thought this is clever. You know.
Yeah. Nobody ever brags about the unclever headlines.
No. But, no. so anyway. Bulldogs hit road, road hits back. Yes! All right, nobody's going to read the story because who wants to read a story about a loss? But anyway, it's a great headline. All right, so Abraham, yes. So good morning, Abe.
Welcome. Good morning.
Hey, but also in studio with us, watching the program, John Brewer and Teresa Mullen. Good morning to y'all. Thanks for stopping by from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and they are with us today. And by the way, folks, if you're traveling somewhere and you want to come by our studios here at American Family Radio in Tupelo, Mississippi, you're welcome to come by. And we're thankful to have John and Teresa. Now, if you come by after 5, or you come by on the weekend, you're just going to be looking through the door.
And might get arrested.
Well, if you try to too hard to get in, right? You know what I'm saying? That's called breaking and entering.
Yes, it is.
And but
the door hits back.
If you come by during normal business hours, we would love to shake your hand and show you around. And if you're here during today's issues, you know, if we can make it happen, you can watch the show. So anyway, just wanted to make that available. There was another, we were talking, Chris Woodward with us, and Ed Vitagliano, and I'm Tim Wildman, and Abe Hamilton. We got off talking about events because it's September the 11th. It's 9/11. Abe, we were talking about things that we remember that, sort of gained national attention, especially in the age of television. Mm-hmm. And now in the age of social media. But there's one event that we all remember, again, like you, Space Challenger.
Yeah.
I mean, Space Shuttle Challenger, the Oklahoma City. You mentioned some other ones. We had talked about, obviously, we had talked about JFK and Ronald Reagan's assassination.
Our Facebook folks are just listing all kinds of.
Well, we
could spend all day.
But you know, there was another one that got our whole country's attention for days and days and days, and Abe lived it. Mm-hmm. And that's Hurricane Katrina.
Right. Yes.
I remember that when you mentioned that.
Was that 05?
Yep. August 29th, 2005.
That's when your world changed?
Yeah, it was life defining.
You were living in
New Orleans.
That's where you grew up.
That's right.
What, were you in high school or what?
No, I was in law school. I was in my third year. I just started my third year of law school at Loyola University College of Law.
In New Orleans. Now, what happened that day? I mean, how did that?
That was, if I
physically,
remember correctly.
I want to know what happened that day.
You were, physically to me or physically?
Well, you know, your family and your neighborhood and everything like that.
Well, my family had evacuated. So a lot of people forget, prior to Hurricane Katrina making landfall, if you were in New Orleans, you will remember Mayor Ray Nagin issued a mandatory evacuation order. A lot of people don't remember that. Issued a mandatory evacuation order on Sunday, which was the 28th, and my family and I left. They started the Contra Flow, meaning both sides, all sides of I-10 were open to travel westward, outward, away from New Orleans, all interstates, everywhere.
On what day?
On the 28th, the day
before.
The
hurricane hit on the 29th.
On the 29th is when it made landfall.
Okay.
Yeah, and so my family and I were already in Texas by the time the storm made landfall.
Gotcha.
And in fact, we didn't learn about the scope of the damage until Tuesday morning.
How far did you live from where the levees were? They broke. They breached.
10 minutes.
Wow. Really?
10 minutes. Yeah.
So that water.
Yeah, the childhood home where I spent the majority of my childhood was decimated. We don't have any baby pictures. Hmm. None of that stuff.
Oh, you lost all that?
All of that stuff is gone for my family. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, you guys began living in Houston, Texas, right?
That's right.
God brought good out of it. That's where you met your future wife.
That's where I met my wife. That's why I was initially admitted to the practice of law in Texas. I never dreamed of being a Texan, never thought it. So much so, some people may not know this, but in Louisiana, at Loyola in particular, you have the opportunity to learn Louisiana-based law based on the Napoleonic Code or the common law system, which the rest of the states. And me, in my wisdom, I studied Napoleonic Code-based law. So when it came time to take the Texas bar exam, I had to learn Texas law in 2 months.
Wow.
Now, when you were going to Loyola and then that happened, you left. Mm-hmm. You couldn't go to class anymore. I don't know.
No. So I originally enrolled in the South Texas College of Law. They were admitting students free of charge from Loyola University College of Law in Tulane. Yeah.
That's very generous of them.
It was very generous of them. And later, my law school opened a satellite campus on the University of Houston College of Law's campus. So I was going to South Texas
What's the distance from Houston to New Orleans?
6 hours.
Okay.
About 6 hours.
So did your folks go back home?
Eventually. So we were not allowed to go back for an appreciable amount of time. I don't remember the exact amount of time in total, but my parents went back initially, and I stayed in Texas.
There were people staying in the Superdome for a long time.
Yes. I have personal friends who, post-Katrina, who did not heed the mandatory evacuation order, who unfortunately lived through the Superdome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was tragic for a lot of people.
Well, certainly Hurricane Katrina was.
Right.
And then in addition to what happened with New Orleans, you had the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm.
Right. Just, also devastated.
I mean, that 20-foot surge?
The bulk of the storm surge and the wind damage hit Mississippi more than New Orleans. New Orleans suffered because of the breach of the levees. And so flooding, post-levee breaches would destroy New Orleans. But Mississippi got the brunt of the storm surge and the wind damage. Yeah.
You know, there was another hurricane that would be probably a top 20 story for the 20th century, and that was Camille.
Yes.
That also hit the
Florida,
Mississippi.
Oh, was it Mississippi as well?
It was a hurricane. It was a 5. It was a hurricane. I don't know how it affected New Orleans or the Alabama coast, but I just remember as a child.
Yeah. I didn't live through that one.
Yeah.
That was in the 60s? Was that
Camille.
68 or something? 68?
I think it was.
I wasn't born
I think it was
yet.
60s. You'd have to look that up, but was there anything else that comes jumps out?
There's
a lot of things that we remember.
We had a lot of folks saying things. Folks, I'm not going to do names now. Yeah. I like to give credit for names, but several mentioned Columbine.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Somebody mentioned the farewell goodbye of MASH. That was it's not a tragedy, but it was the most watched
event for a long time.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because I was not a fan of the show.
Me either.
But I was in college again when that happened. I remember the MASH parties going on. So
really? some of these, of course, Jim Jones, that was a tragedy. Bill Clinton scandal was a tragedy. Somebody, Mick, I'm going to say this. The event of Geraldo opening Al Capone's grave. You remember that? Remember how huge that was?
What?
It turned out to be.
Yeah.
You remember this?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
Geraldo
that.
Built this thing up. They found Al Capone's, I guess, a hidden, I don't know if it was his grave, but it was a vault. And so he was going to open it on national television, Al Capone, and man, people were just locked in. And so they busted down this wall. Geraldo saying, we don't know what could be in there. It could be treasure, you know, could be money, whatever. And it was nothing. I mean, it was just
a couple pieces of garbage.
Another
thing in the sports world transcended sports and went sort of national for the whole country's watching is when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa had their home run race. You remember that?
I remember that.
Roger Maris's record.
I remember that.
So anyway, well, lots of memories down a memory lane, as they say, some good, some bad.
Jennifer says Camille was 69.
It was 69.
Hurricane Camille.
I just remember it was a category. I think they were rating them as categories back then. It was the most powerful storm at that time.
It was very destructive, you know, financially.
Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, now, most recently, was the flooding that hit Houston.
Harvey.
Yeah.
Oh, that got national attention because of all what happened there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, we have the counselor over here. He has his law degree.
He does.
Yes, he is ready to respond to.
I took mass media law, so I defer to you for all legal opinions. Completely not the same thing.
I did communication. Some reason I had to have a chemistry class in that. I don't know how that worked exactly.
I use it every day.
But what, chemistry?
No. Typing is what.
I don't think that's right to make somebody
in
communication take chemistry. Really? Huh? Where's that going to fit in? Anyway, I'm bemoaning when I shouldn't be because I'm through with that part of my life. Even though I had post-traumatic test syndrome. you think I'm kidding. For about 5 years. Maybe others have experienced this. Well, I'm going to look.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm telling you, after I graduated from college with my GPA.
You're going to talk dreams.
Notice I didn't say what it was. I'm just saying I had a GPA.
Yes. You had one.
I had one, and I had my degree. And I was proud of myself, and I was done with that. But I would wake up like four or 5 years thinking, I would wake up in the middle of the night. You've had this too? Thinking I have a test in the morning. Huh?
Or did that happen to you? Or dreams I would remember. Because I would wake up after having a dream of being in a classroom and people, kids studying.
Yeah.
You ready for the test?
Yeah.
Is that today?
Post-traumatic test syndrome.
Well,
wow.
That can happen to anybody. All right. Abe, our talks today have been so rich. I'll remember this discussion we've had for a long time. I know, you know what? If we can take a spiritual moment out of what we talked about, what Satan intended for bad for the Hamiltons turned out to be a blessing. It was terrible what happened with Katrina, but for you individually, God used that to introduce you to your wife.
Yeah.
Out of the ashes of the storm.
Yeah. And now your degree. Now you have a beautiful family together, and you're serving God at our ministry here as our lawyer.
Yes.
And that's not
so much more.
That's not a
great
well,
radio,
yes,
great
yes,
radio
yes.
program.
And Christian and lawyer is not necessarily are not necessarily contradictory words.
But usually are.
Well, okay.
Thank you, Abe. All righty, guys.
Come back and see us.
I'll consider that.
You're welcome.
We didn't exactly tax his brain on this.
you're welcome here anytime. And we'd let you stay, but we got another guest. Another Texan's coming on here. By the way, if you'd like to send us an email, you could do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Chris Woodward here with Ed Vitagliano. I'm Tim Wildman. And if you want to watch the show, you can go to Facebook or YouTube, and we are live streaming there. Just type in Today's Issues. We also are posting the stories that we discuss on our Facebook page as well. Well, Dr. Robert Jeffress is with us now. He's senior pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. He's a Fox News contributor. And he also is the Bible teacher on Pathway to Victory, heard each weekday morning at 6 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio, and an author as well. We're going to talk about his new book, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Robert, good morning.
Good to talk to you, Tim.
Where are you today?
I am in Dallas, Texas, sitting at my desk at the First Baptist Church.
Now, when you do the interviews that we see with Fox News, are you at the church? Or are you in New York?
Sometimes both. Last week I was in New York for about six of their shows, but most of the time I'm doing it from the Dallas bureau that's just down the street from our church.
Okay, I was just curious about that. How did you get involved with Fox News? Originally.
Well, I started doing hits with them about 10 or 11 years ago. They called me up. Actually, I think it was Bill O'Reilly's show that probably had me on first 10 or 11 years ago, and they started using me. And then about 6 years ago, they came to the conclusion that evangelicals were being underserved by Fox News, that, you know, they had a Catholic perspective on lots of issues, but no evangelical perspective. And so the leadership at that time at Fox invited me to come and be a contributor, so I'm honored to get to do that.
Gotcha. Now, you got a new book out called A Place Called Heaven for Kids.
That's right. A couple of years ago, my book, A Place Called Heaven, came out, and it was instantly a national bestseller. People are interested in heaven. And the publishers came to me and said, we need to do an edition for children. And that resonated with me, Tim, because as a pastor, as well as a parent and grandparent now, I see children have lots of questions about death and heaven. They're introduced to death all the time, whether it be through the death of a grandparent or even be exposed to these mass shootings and tragedies. it sparks questions and fears. And so we have written this children's book, A Place Called Heaven for Kids, 32 pages. I answer children's 10 most frequently asked questions about heaven. It's beautifully illustrated by an award-winning children's artist. And the most important thing, Tim, about the book is it closes with the most important question, how can I know I'm going to heaven? And there's a plan of salvation and a prayer that the parent or grandparent can lead his child in to trust in Christ as Savior.
Now, where exactly, this may seem like an elementary question, but we are talking about kids here. So where exactly in the Bible does it say there is a place, a physical place called heaven?
Yeah.
It is physical, right? Or is it not?
It is. In fact, that's the first question we answer for children. Is heaven real or is it imaginary?
Okay.
You know, children are introduced to all kind of imaginary things through television or through books. And so we distinguish between the imaginary and the real. And we have a picture of Jesus talking to children. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you in John 14. And that word place, of course, we don't get into this, in the Greek language, topos, literally means a geographical location. You know, think about it, Tim. On the Mount of Olives, I know you've been there with groups before, Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives and went to heaven. Now, if heaven is just a state of mind, how do you go from a real geographical location into a state of mind? No, both were geographical locations. Jesus was just changing locations. Heaven is very much a real place.
Okay, now when Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives to go to heaven, and ascension means going up, so he went up into the clouds.
Yes.
Or where did he go? Did he go to the moon first?
Well, you know, the Bible talks about three heavens, you know. The first heaven is the atmosphere, the air we breathe. The second heaven is outer space beyond the earth. But the third heaven is where God is. And he went into the third heaven. Remember the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 talks about he was taken up into the third heaven where God is. And without getting real complicated, which again we don't do with children, when we as Christians die, we immediately, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we go to be with the Lord in that place called heaven. That's the third heaven, wherever it is where Jesus is. But that's not our final destination. Actually, our final destination is going to be back here on earth in the recreated heaven and earth. It's going to be Eden as God intended Eden to be. We were ultimately made not for another world, but for this world recreated. And that's going to be our final destination. This planet Earth remade as God intended.
Dr. Jeffress, this is Ed here. Let me just ask the question that that a lot of kids ask. I don't know if it's in your book, but I would like to know what your answer is. Is my dog in heaven? Do pets go to heaven? Did any of the kids ask that?
They do ask that. And, you know, dogs and cats and animals do not have eternal spirits. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us man is different. He has a spirit that is eternal. So, will there be animals in the new heaven and the new earth? Absolutely. The Bible talks about, you know, horses, and it talks about animals. It won't be your pet. It won't be Fido resurrected, yeah. But it will be. There will be animals that are part, just like there were in Eden. And, you know, Ed and Tim, one thing I would just say here, we are finding that this book is really resonating, especially with grandparents who are concerned that their grandchildren aren't being taken to church by the adult children. This is a great way for grandparents to bypass their children and get the message of heaven and salvation directly to their grandchildren. We're seeing grandparents buy these 5 and 10 at a time as a great gift for their grandchildren.
What's the title of the book?
It's called A Place Called Heaven for Kids, and it's available at Amazon.com, all online retailers, and most bookstores now.
Listen, Robert, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you being on with us. Hope you sell a million of these. This is a great and this is a great topic, and there's a lot of interest, obviously.
This will be another bestseller.
Yeah.
Because this is a subject that interests Christians and non-Christians alike. A lot of people want to know what comes next. So
Thank you, Robert. Take care, brother.
Thank you all for having me. Really appreciate
it. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. It's Dr. Robert Jeffress joining us from First Baptist Church, Dallas. He was studying for his sermon for tonight.
I'm guessing he probably has that already done.
Yeah. So
that's a brave man telling kids Fido's not going to heaven.
Well,
I just usually lie to the kids.
Did he say?
Tell them, yeah.
The views and opinions expressed on this program.
I mean, there's some dogs that don't deserve it.
No, you are right. And I'm going to say that right.
I love dogs and everything. But
no cat deserves to go.
I've had neighbors' dogs digging my flower beds.
Right.
And they on my property.
I've wanted to send dogs to wherever they go afterwards.
Yeah.
Right.
I've wanted to send them.
We've all had these feelings.
Yes.
And I don't think it's wrong to judge animals. Do you?
No.
We can't judge other people. Really, in an ultimately spiritual sense, but I think we can judge animals.
Yeah.
Moles, for example, almost go to hell.
Raccoons.
That's why they're halfway there to begin with.
Huh? Am I right?
Listen, you get no argument from me.
Find in the Bible where it says that where I'm contradicted.
My wife, now this is the absolute truth. She said one of our little dogs, she said it had a mole, got it, had killed it. And I said, well, that's a good start. Right there.
M-O-L-E.
Yeah.
Oh. I just don't know why they exist, honestly. I really don't. I mean, if I can ask the Lord a lot of questions.
I doubt maybe, that's going
to
be
I know,
up
but if I get down to 954.
Okay.
Question number 954, if the Lord lets me ask that many, I will ask about the moles.
Okay.
Okay. All right, what do you got, Chris?
Well, I wanted to bring people's attention to this. He's been featured on this program a lot, at least. No.
Oh.
We're going to do clip 5 here, Brent. I'll set it up. Former acting ICE director Tom Homan, he's appearing today at a House hearing, led by Democrats, of course. They control the House. Mm-hmm. But Homan said he will challenge Democrats on their, quote, false narratives about the administration's immigration enforcement advocates. And this begins with a question and answer with Mr. Homan, clip 5.
Democrats say you're callous and you want to send dying children home. What's your message to those that say that to you?
That's a false narrative. I'll make that clear today if they allow me to talk. If you look at the last hearing, it seems like it was more political theater than actually getting to the facts. But if they want true transparency, they want truth to American people, I will speak it. But, one of the things I want to address today with them is, okay, I understand this hearing is important. But where are the hearings on the southern border, on the sanctuary city? Where are the hearings on sanctuary cities that are responsible for far more deaths than this proposed policy? Where are the hearings on the asylum process and Florida asylum agreement that enticed thousands of people to come in this country? 31% of women are being sexually assaulted. Children are dying. Where are those hearings? It seems like they have a quick hearing when those who violate our laws may find a difficult position. They say they're not being treated fairly. How about having a hearing to treat the U.S. citizens fairly? How about having a hearing to secure our nation?
Now, that again was former acting ICE director Tom Homan. He's on Fox and Friends a lot talking about these issues. I will be monitoring this later today, as will my tag
what
team.
What does
partner,
ICE stand
Steve
for
Jordan.
Again?
Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Ditto.
Okay. They are charged with enforcing the immigration laws. Right?
Yes.
So if you're found in violation of our immigration laws, i.e. you're here illegally, ICE can arrest you?
The Iceman cometh.
Okay, they can arrest you and then start deportation?
Generally, they're the ones with the jurisdiction. That's a hard word to say.
Now, those folks, those who are responsible for enforcing our immigration laws, they're the ones that many of the Democrats, they want to
eliminate.
So they don't want any enforcement.
Right.
I mean, am I right?
Oh, there's been some have called
several of
the
Democrat
hand of ICE.
Remember the whole hand of raising thing? Everybody
several of the Democrat candidates. They want, I guess, just complete anarchy when it comes to immigration in our country. Well, they do.
Well, they may not want anarchy, but their policies would result in it.
Yeah, that's what they're going to get. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.